Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, January 12, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford, introducing the all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric with voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch, featuring gas-free power, zero CO2 emissions, and battery management technology that lets you go the distance. Learn more at FocusElectricPower.com and by MailRoute.info. MailRoute is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it right now absolutely free at MailRoute.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day.
And we're all back at the ranch.
Now it feels like CES is over.
Officially over.
Yeah. It's Becky's in the house. Mm-hmm. It's just the three of us.
Yep.
With some shrimp chips.
Yeah.
You can make it happen. You're lucky you can't smell it, but it's a good show about to happen.
You know, the hardest thing for me to remember in doing an entire episode of Tech News Today is the date.
Yes. What is the date?
If you watch the video version, you will always see me look down. This is Tech News Today for Wednesday.
Well, because most of your open...
January 12th.
Most of your open is very much the same from day to day. The date always changes, though.
Yeah, and so, I don't know what date is.
Yeah.
From one day to another.
And sometimes you don't even know what date to put in the spreadsheet, because I think I corrected it today.
Oh,
it said the 11th.
Yeah. No, I mess that up all the time. No, I appreciate that. Without Jason, I would be lost.
I think this is the day that we get to see iPad 2.
It is. Wow. Some video was sneaked out. It says snuck out on this Slashdot posting.
Snucked out.
Snuck is not a word. It. Unless it's a nickname of someone from the Jersey Shore. It was sneaked out of the CES show in Las Vegas last week. Apparently, a Chinese iPad accessory maker had an iPad 2 prototype. And there it is. Now, I thought, well, anybody could slap an iPad 2 sticker on the back, but it looks like it actually has a camera, has a little different placement for some of the buttons on the side, has that grill for the speaker down at the bottom.
Does the font for iPad 2, like, does that match? It looked like a little different.
You know what? Let me define out.
It's upside down, and it's got all the funky FCC weird hieroglyphics.
Yeah, but
on
they could just take a regular iPad and keep that stuff.
True.
I don't know. That
yeah, it's the same font.
That font looks the same.
Yeah.
But it's got a big old speaker grill down there at the bottom. Yeah. That's different.
It does look thinner, but it has more of what would you call that? An edge that's sort of sloped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And probably the biggest visual difference besides that sloping edge off the bezel is the grill where the speakers are. And it looks like the speakers are more substantial. Now, it looks to me like that image on the front is completely frozen.
Yeah, you know, I think this was more for the manufacturers to create the cases, so there's probably some sort of an insert is my guess.
Yeah,
the image on the front looks the most fake of anything. Yeah. We can pull that back over and look at that.
Yeah.
That looks like a fake. That looks like a faux pod. And I am still not 100% convinced that this is not a faux pod,
yeah,
a faux pad.
I also say, why would they increase the size of the bezel? So do you see that image there? The bezel looks much bigger than the silver around the edge.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, the silver does, yeah.
Yeah.
Although that could just be the angle
that
it's shooting at. I'm not sure.
There's something there. I mean, you know that the makers of all the peripherals are trying to figure this out and whether or not they've actually gotten a spec or not. You'd think they must have by now.
Microsoft is fighting Apple right now, and Apple's trying to file a trademark. Actually, they applied for the trademark back in 2008 for the term App Store. And just now, Microsoft has asked the Trademark Trial and Appeals Board to issue a summary judgment denying Apple's trademark application. The company is trying to insist that app has become a generic term and that store is definitely a generic term. So putting them together just makes another generic term.
Another reason that they're saying they have justification is that Steve Jobs himself has used App Store in a generic way. He's quoted in the Microsoft writings as saying, Amazon, Verizon, and Vodafone all have announced that they are creating their own app stores for Android, end quote. And in the commentary that a lot of people have made, this is like trying to, in some senses, protect the generic term like shoe store, gas station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know, What if Payless was the only one that could be a shoe store? That's silly.
It's like trademarking the word face.
And book.
Yeah. Those are two generic
That'll
terms.
Never happen. We don't even need to talk about
two that. Together just make a generic term.
That's right. Well, I mean, we do
Well, maybe the generic term here would be application store.
Well, and I think that's where
Calling
Apple's...
App store
that's probably where Apple's coming from in their filing is, look, app is kind of slangy.
Right.
And an application store would be generic, but app store, we're the ones who pioneered it, right? Mm-hmm. But it is very telling that Steve Jobs refers to the other marketplaces as App Store. And in fact, Microsoft doesn't even use the word App Store. They call the Windows Phone 7 Marketplace, Marketplace.
Well, I think that some of the other options that I saw suggested were much more compelling. App Bazaar, App Mart. I like App Mart. It's kind of like Walmart. App Emporium, or shortened to Apporium.
I like that a lot. In our long-running nightmare of patent law idiocy, the trademarks are usually pretty non-controversial. There's occasionally something like Facebook trying to stop you from using the word face everywhere, but most of the time it's pretty sensible. So I actually expect this trademark application to be rejected. Sony is also going to court. It's this week in law, suddenly, on Tech News Today. Sony is going to court asking for an injunction against the Fail Overflow folks, specifically Geohot, George Hotz, for circumventing the security in the PS3, allowing you to run your own firmware on the device.
The keys readily available online. And Sony is sort of... This seems a little bit like the horse is already out of the barn, but they got to do something. Not only are they trying to get the material taken off of the specific websites that they named in their legal filings, but also some injunctive relief for they want some compensation and legal fees back. So it's mostly take down the information just because we have to do something, but it's also and give us some money because we want to be punitive.
And they have taken down the information off the main page of the website. It just says Sony is suing us. The thing with this case, yes, this could be done to play pirated games. And that's what Sony's targeting. They're saying they're circumventing copyright protection in order to play pirated games. And what George Hotz and folks are saying is, look, sure, you could do all kinds of things with it, but what we're doing is figuring out how to run software on a device we own.
Right.
So they're going after not only Hotz, but they're going after a Hungarian and a Spaniard who are involved in it, saying they violated the user agreement, saying that even if you download a single update from the PlayStation Network, you've given your consent to be sued in California. And it's going to hinge on whether the court says, look, you circumvent copyright protection, you circumvent copyright protection. We don't care what it's for, which the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act here in the United States, actually can be interpreted that way to say it doesn't matter why you circumvent copyright protection. If you want to make backups for yourself, if you just want to install Linux on your PS3, you can't. There's copyright protection in place and it's illegal to crack it. If the court sees it that way, Hotz loses. If the court says, well, wait a minute, they weren't trying to break any law here specifically because they didn't distribute firmware that would play pirated games. All they distributed were the keys to allow you to run any kind of software on the PS3. You'd have to go after the people that actually committed the piracy. That makes sense to me. You go after people who actually did play pirated games, who cracked software, rather than going after the people who made it so that you could restore a functionality to your machine that Sony took away. You wouldn't even have this crack if Sony had left the ability in the PS3 software to run other operating systems, including Linux. But they took that away recently, and what did you expect? This is what you're going to get.
And this is in a civil court, so we don't expect this to be a big precedent setter, but it could be interesting to see how it all plays out with the information and how that ends up if they do end up paying a fine.
According to the lawsuit, building on the failover flow defendant's circumvention devices, Hotz circumvented certain other TPMs in the PS3 system, intentionally accessed the PS3 system without authorization. The PS3 system he owns! And misappropriated critical SCA keys. SCA is the security system for Sony. So that opened up the PlayStation 3 completely. Some people in chat room are saying Hotz actually did distribute some firmware, and I haven't looked at that. But the Failover Flow has now released the code in response to the lawsuit. So, you know, this is just a bad move. This is always a bad move. And you know what, Sony? Was it worth this cost and this kind of publicity for you to take away or not bother to include in a PS3 firmware update the ability to run other operating systems. If you'd left that in there, you'd be having none of these problems. You wouldn't have to pay your lawyers this much. That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. So there. So nay.
That's how Tom rolls.
That's right. We'll see more of that later in the show.
Let's take a break and thank our sponsor, Ford. This episode of Tech News Today and all our coverage this past weekend and over last week of CES 2011 is brought to you by Ford, introducing the all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric with voice-activated sync and My Ford Touch. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric is an all-electric vehicle. No gasoline engine in there. You plug it in, 120-volt or 240-volt outlet upgrade. With your electric vehicle supply equipment, also charges by regenerative braking. And then you're able to drive around town. You're able to do your commuting, do some errands around town. And it captures braking energy and stores it for later use. So even while you're driving, you're charging it up a little bit. It'll offer a miles per charge that's pretty competitive with other electric vehicles on the market. And it may even be cheaper than gasoline to charge, depending on how costly electricity is in your market. Especially if you charge it at night when the electric rates are lower, it might be the cheapest way to run an automobile. The all-new 2012 Ford Focus Electric also features Sync with My Ford Touch, which responds to voice commands and touch controls for battery management, entertainment, climate control, phone, and navigation. So you get all that goodness of being able to talk to your car, being able to seamlessly switch from talking to your car and telling it, hey, send this text message to Becky, to being able to, when you're stopped, go to the touchscreen and mess around with your playlist, read the text message that's coming back. All of that stuff is included. It can even manage your battery in your Ford Focus Electric. To learn more, visit FocusElectricPower.com. And thanks to Ford for supporting our special coverage of CES 2011 and Tech News Today. On to the aftermath.
Yeah, on to yesterday's news.
Yesterday was the Verizon iPhone. And as always, when there's ever any kind of Apple announcement, the next day is mulling it all over day. So we've herded all of these stories into one place. If you're not interested, just forward a couple minutes. And when you start to hear us talking about Google's Universal Translator, then you know you've passed the stories. But let's blaze through them. The iPhone personal hotspot feature, that was one big thing that Verizon has in their iPhone that is not currently in other iPhones. And there's a rumor out that that would show up in iOS 4.3 for all phones.
If the carriers support it, correct?
If the carriers support it, it would be like tethering. AT&T didn't immediately get on board with tethering.
No.
So that took a while. Personal hotspot might be the same sort of thing where they charge you. In fact, we don't even know if Verizon is going to charge you or not.
And I mean, if you have the unlimited, it seems like this is a win for consumers and for the carriers. And it seems like it's something that was definitely touted yesterday when people were talking about the differentials that made the Verizon phone compelling, the Verizon iPhone. So I think that this is something that carriers will feel compelled to do.
In fact, AT&T says they're evaluating that feature. They're not making any promises. They're not making any announcements. But they do say that they're looking at it to decide if they would offer that. There's also the fact that somehow the Samsung Vibrant story got pulled up in the middle.
You wanted to talk about the iOS 4.3 support for AirPlay.
Yes. So the iOS 4.3 beta appeared today, and there is no evidence that there is hotspot in the beta.
There's nothing that was seen there, but the what thing that is exciting to people is AirPlay video support for apps. That definitely has people excited, and this is sharing things between devices that are connected over wireless. So I love this idea of flicking content.
You wouldn't even have to flick with this.
I know, but you could.
You could conceivably be using iPhone Hulu Plus or Netflix app, and then send it to your Apple TV, and then it would show up on your big television.
See? Ecosystem. I'm telling you, all these devices working together, wireless. It's the way of the future, Tom.
In Verizon news, Wall Street Journal pointing out that Verizon is ending its every two upgrade policy as of January 16th. Mm. So if you were thinking, hey, I know Verizon has that new every two, I'll buy the iPhone, hold on it for 2 years, I'll get $100 credit. Well, no. They're getting rid of that. If you're a current customer and you're building up a credit, you can still use your credit. But once you get to the end of your 2-year period, you're not going to get another credit.
Well, strangely enough, as much as that is a bummer for people who are thinking, aha, this is how I can really work the system, one thing that basically gives you the same thing is all these trade-in options, whether it's Gazelle or Radio Shack has had a play here.
Best Buy is now starting a program as well.
You give them, usually it's about $100 that you get for an iPhone that's within 2 years of release, and that you can then apply to the cost of your new one. So in some senses, you can use one of those to circumvent this.
But if you were using one of those and taking advantage of this, you still lose.
Yeah. And God forbid your screen's cracked.
Brian Brushwood or Patrick Norton, it is.
I would love to know what the percentage of iPhone cracked screens is.
Or Natalie Morris.
Everybody.
I know so many people with cracked iPhone screens.
I know.
And you see it more on iPhones, or at least I see it more on iPhones than I see it on any other phone as far as I can
tell. Yeah, and they say the iPhone 4 is even more prone to it. So
interesting.
That does cause a problem if you have a defect, should we say.
And Gadget pointing out also that Verizon Wireless turns on 16 new cell sites in New York City. Coincidentally.
Hey, that's so nice of them.
And then a few analysts, Needham & Company analyst Charlie Wolf and Kaufman Brothers analyst Sha Wu.
Oh, you love Sha.
Sha Wu.
You know he's going to come up with some crazy tech ideas.
That Android is going to suffer because the iPhone is on Verizon now.
Well, here are the estimates that I've seen is that Verizon will sell 9 million iPhones this year. And that will cause 2 million fewer Android phones to be sold. There's a little weird fuzzy math there, but those are the numbers that I saw yesterday. Now, Dan Hayes, who's a consultant for this firm PRTM, he's the one who really says that 2 million number is key. And then this is the other metric I'm going to give you. About 70% of Verizon smartphones sold in the third quarter of 2010 were Android phones.
And a lot of people are pointing to the fact, and this is a fair point, that Android phones are most popular on Verizon, where you don't have the choice of an iPhone. Mm-hmm. So if you look at that and say, well, wait a minute, if all these people who right now are like, you know, I'm with Verizon, I want to stay with Verizon, so I'm going to get a Droid, or I'm going to get Droid 2, or, you know, one of those phones, mm-hmm. like Jason, now with the iPhone out, they're going to be tempted to get an iPhone, right?
Certainly. I mean, my wife is probably going to get an iPhone. She has a Droid right now, and yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's a temptation, and I think it's kind of a no-brainer that it's going to hurt Android a little bit. Is it going to destroy Android? I don't think so. No. There are a lot of other carriers that don't have the iPhone as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like Verizon's the only carrier that doesn't have the iPhone that has Android. No matter what, there's a ton of Android phones out there. There's a lot of lower-cost Android phones out there as well. So people are going to buy them that don't want to drop 200 bones on a new phone.
And I think the tech press in general fails to recognize the importance of the upgrade cycle and the cost of the new phone as huge arbiters in what phone people buy. And I think also Android has really exploited this time frame with AT&T's exclusivity on the iPhone and has done a great job, Google has, of creating groundswell that
absolutely.
I don't think that the Verizon announcement turns the tide. If it was an LTE phone, maybe. But
in the short term, I mean, even Android has that too, right? Android's coming out with the LTE and the 4G phones and the iPhone isn't
quite
there
yet. Well, yeah, you can get the Evo on 4G right now on Sprint.
Exactly.
I do think Verizon is going to sell a lot more phones because they have the iPhone. I don't think you can discount that. I wish we had a better comparison because AT&T doesn't sell a lot of Android phones and they have the iPhone. But I get the feeling it's not because they have the iPhone. It's because a lot of their Android phones just are crap. Mm. They haven't put a lot of energy into Android phones.
Right.
So I don't think you can compare that. I think Verizon is going to benefit greatly from this. Everybody knows that because they've got some of the best Android phones as well as the iPhone now. So they can say for the first time ever, Verizon has all the best phones. Who would have thought that would happen?
Yeah.
But really, I don't think it's going to hurt Android because Android is in so many different places. Android needs a really good AT&T phone. I think that would save Android's bacon. If they came out, I mean, and they do have whatever the Galaxy S is called on AT&T is decent.
Captivate?
Yeah. Well, and the Citrix is coming out on AT&T.
And the Citrix is coming. So
that's a big winner at CES.
There's going to be some huge Android phones. And yes, iPhone is going to steal some market
from the Atrix.
But I don't think it's going to steal a ton. Yeah, you got the Bionic and the Atrix. They're virtually the same
thing. Yeah.
And a few people in the chat room pointed out that Engadget has updated their story now, saying that, yes, the mobile hotspot does seem to be buried in the 4.3 beta. We still don't know if that means that it's going to be activated in an iOS 4.3 release or not, but it is in there. That's good to know. Google has implemented an early version of a feature for its translation app that you can get for Android that does on-the-fly audio translation from one language to another.
That's amazing.
So just like Google Translate will allow you to type something in and then it will translate it to Spanish for you or German or whatever, the Google Audio the conversation mode will allow you to speak in English and then it will translate it to Spanish. Right now, it only works between English and Spanish because it's in test mode.
The obvious use of this type of technology that's been promoted all the way along with all of these translator gadgets is if you're in a foreign country or you're having a hard time communicating with someone who only speaks Spanish, then you can use your phone. I see the real power here in voice commands for phones because, so my babysitter, she doesn't write and read, and she has struggled to learn how to use her phone and all the commands and to text and to be able to give voice commands in a language when that your phone understands and can then
but that's not this, that's totally different.
The engine could be.
Well, no, you can already do voice commands in any language.
You can?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, if you buy a phone in Spain that has voice commands, you can give the commands in Spanish.
I never thought about that. What? What kind of ethnocentric journalist am I? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I want confirmation.
Right.
In Spanish, translated to English via this tool.
Es verdad.
Es verdad, sí?
Sí.
All right. Okay, just
this
choose.
Is much cooler.
This is cool, but I
can talk into it, and then it'll say Spanish things to you.
I think that's cool, but haven't we had little gadgety things that have done that for a long time?
Really?
Yeah, see?
Like what?
Like little gadgety things that they sell for travelers in the Sky Mall.
Those are not the same thing as this. Those are things where you like push pre-programmed phrases. This is like I can say anything to it. It'll translate it on the fly.
This is kind of like whatever that app was for the iPhone that we covered a couple of weeks ago where you pointed at text and on the fly it shows you what
Okay, all right.
And Google says the app supports text translations between 53 languages from Afrikaans to Yiddish and voice input for 15 languages.
Wow. Okay, I'll take your advice, Forkless, in the chat room. I'll cut my losses and just shut up now.
In other Android news, there are some rumors out from a website called Pocket Link suggesting that the next version after Honeycomb will be Android 2.4, which Honeycomb is Android 3.0, so I'm not sure how that works. But
yeah, it's getting confused.
It's weird.
The next version will be Android 2.4, and because it will be after Honeycomb, it will be named Ice Cream Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. But
TechCrunch says Ice Cream Sandwich comes straight from Andy Rubin's mouth. That's their source.
Yeah, well, okay.
Are you dissing their choice of eye dessert?
I think that's not my favorite eye dessert. I put it out to my Twitter people and said, "What would you suggest?"
Uh-huh.
And you know, I got a lot of ice cream variations, ice cream cake.
It's the obvious choice, ice cream.
Yeah. And then the one I like the best is Icy.
Ooh.
I C E E.
Yeah.
That's a brand name.
It's a brand. It'd have to be in cahoots a little bit there.
I like the icon though. You know, it would go in that lawn ornament space they have with all their other ones.
That's what TechCrunch says that, or somebody said. I don't know if it was TechCrunch or not. That you wouldn't choose ice cream because it would look too much like Froyo, which Google makes lawn ornaments for all of their distributions of Android.
So funny.
And so the Froyo ornament would look too similar to an ice cream ornament. So you had to have ice cream sandwich, so it'd look different.
Well, I
and
did.
That makes a whole lot of sense that you would change the name of your phone operating system distribution based on the lawn ornament that you're going to make.
And how that dessert was represented in icons would be a better way to say this.
If that's the way that they make these types of decisions, then the whole fragmentation issue totally makes sense. Don't you think?
So random, and they love it.
Italian ice.
I got that one. That was a good suggestion.
Iced coffee. This not really a dessert. Ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae.
That's similar to ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
You're just doing a play on ice cream.
This is the suggestion from Jean-Baptiste Querou. He says, cupcake, donut, eclair, froyo, gingerbread, honeycomb, insulin.
And you just put a needle.
That'd be perfect on this lawn. Wouldn't that be awesome? Ornament.
Like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
So random. Gotta like that.
All right. On to, we haven't had a WikiLeaks roundup in a while.
Bring it. Come
on. Since before the first of the year. Julian Assange claims he has insurance files on Rupert Murdoch and a broadcasting organization in the United States. There are 504 U.S. embassy cables on one broadcasting organization, and there are cables on Murdoch and News Corp, and he's not afraid to use them if anything should happen to him.
Now, when I first read this headline, I thought, is it Rupert Murdoch's personal car auto insurance? And is it the insurance files? Like, if it's ABC, does this guy know how many times I go to the dentist? Or, like, what is the... But you mean, like, if something bad happens.
He's got insurance for Assange.
Well, there is that file out there that's locked up, available on BitTorrent, that you can download. And the encryption key will only be given out, the decryption will only be given out if something should happen to Assange. I suppose these cables are in there. Why he's saying... If the United States government or anyone else harms me, I'm going to embarrass Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, that's going to really keep the DOJ from, you know, hello.
And Rupert Murdoch is totally likely to respond to that. Really? Like, I don't get this guy.
Logic gap.
Although, I do think he should join the Edgar Winter group.
Yeah, we were discussing who will play him in the movie, and we are open to suggestions. Ace Detect on Twitter and B Worley, send us your who should play Julian Assange in the... No doubt will be released movie of WikiLeaks.
Jacob Applebaum, a security researcher, Tor developer, and volunteer with WikiLeaks, reported today on Twitter that he was detained, searched, and questioned for a second time by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. He experienced a similar incident last year at the Newark Airport. So if you're involved in WikiLeaks, be prepared for extra delays when traveling. Also, an influential group of European politicians are protesting the government's attempt to pry WikiLeaks-related information out of Twitter. Remember, we reported last week that Twitter has been subpoenaed, and Twitter is dealing with that and sort of resisting, saying we don't want to hand out any information unless we have to. The parliamentary protest in the EU states that taking the information of any European citizen would violate the privacy laws of Europe.
And, you know, this is the question of global information, websites that serve many countries. I saw the point raised that if we had an American citizen and the Iraqi government subpoenaed that American citizen's Twitter private messages and information about their IP data, people would freak out. And that's basically what's happening in reverse. These European politicians saying, hey, this is a European citizen, and they're not so sure the jurisdictional issues really play out here.
Yeah. And I jokingly said yesterday that they would accuse Julian Assange of treason. Of course, they can't. I got many people wrote in and pointed out that he's not a citizen. But that joke was sprung from the same situation that we're talking about here, where there's a lot of international law repercussions to all of this going on. You know, there's an Icelandic parliamentary member, a member of the Icelandic parliament, that is under this. And there's also a couple other folks that have been subpoenaed as well. Dutch hacker XS4All, internet provider co-founder Ron Gongrip, and WikiLeaks volunteer Jacob Applebaum, who we just mentioned, all have had their records subpoenaed. And they've had them subpoenaed. Declan McCullough always does great work over at CNET on his Privacy Inc. blog. He has a posting really explaining all this. I highly recommend going and reading it if you want to understand this a little better. But he points out that what has been used is a broad order called the 2703D order, which allows police to obtain records from a website or internet provider if they're relevant material to an ongoing criminal investigation. And the protesters are saying you need a search warrant, that 2703D is unconstitutional. And in fact, one federal appeals court has ruled that under the Fourth Amendment, a 2703D order is insufficient for the contents of communications and you need a search warrant. That decision is not binding in Virginia or San Francisco where these cases are being carried out. All right, let's take another break and thank MailRoute. Thank MailRoute. For one thing, they sponsor Tech News Today. For another thing, they have revived an entire email address that I used to not be able to use at all. AceDetect@Sabrilliant.com was just a nightmare of spam. There was no way for me to actually make any good use out of it, and now I can. I'm logging into it right now. And all I did was I signed up for MailRoute. I edited my MMX records, so anything sent to that address would be sent to MailRoute first. They take out the spam and then send it back to me. So they sponsored Framerate the other day, and I read an email from Jeff Lacey, who's got an app that he thinks solves a problem of mine. And now I've got a response where he says, "Hey, I was watching Framerate and noticed you got my email. Here's a promo code for my app." Christopher Kinneberg just emailed me. So, you know, these are emails that I've gotten that are real people writing in saying, "Hey, I was just listening to TNT Live and was surprised when you quickly dismissed the use of the word snuck. That was earlier in the show." And he just emailed me.
Hey.
These folks will make your email work again. Check them out. MailRoute.info. You can try it for free. TWiT listeners get 10% off the life of your account. And they've got a couple different plans. If you're a business, it's $2 per user, per month. I'm sorry. I made it really cheap there for a second. $2 per user per month for 10 users. And if you are a small single user, or even if you're a tall single user, it's $30 per user per year. Visit MailRoute.info and sign up with the email filtering service that I use. It works. It actually takes away the spam, and I haven't had a false positive yet.
Best suggestions for Julian Assange actor Daniel Craig, Liam Neeson, Tom Merritt, and I think the best one is Bill Maher.
Bill Maher?
Maher.
Oh, okay. I'm being corrected by Solboo, by the way. XS for All is a Dutch ISP, not a Dutch hacker. And the ISP founder that I mentioned, he's the founder of XS for All.
Got it. The fly correction. You got to love this whole
time podcast. For the news fuse.
All right.
A former TSA worker convicted of planting a logic bomb on a system used to screen airline passengers was sentenced to 2 years in prison and ordered to pay about $60,000 in restitution to the TSA. The 46-year-old Douglas Duchak worked as a data analyst. He planted the malware late in 2009 after the agency gave him 2 weeks' notice that he was being terminated from the job he'd had for 5 years. And so he's like, "I'll show you. I'll put a logic bomb on the TSA computer. What could ever go wrong with that? I could never get caught.
I get busted." And his excuse was that his wife was pregnant with their second child and he was freaking out. So
that's actually not a bad excuse, but still. No defense before the law.
No logic bombs. Sony will close one of its largest CD manufacturing plants due to economic issues complicated by the rise of digital downloads. The plant began producing vinyl LPs in 1960. And moved to CD manufacturing in 1988. The Pittman, New Jersey plant. What an apt town for it. Pittman. CDs are all a bunch of just pits. Will close on March 31st, and about 300 people will lose their jobs. Maybe they can turn it into a data center? Maybe. Seems logical.
Oh, yeah. I like that. You know, just keep it they could host digital music files that way.
There you go.
Galaxy sub-brand KFA2 has announced a graphics card with no display outputs. What good is that? Well, instead, the KFA2 GTX 460 WHDI uses a wireless link to send the display output from your PC to your screen. Whether that's a conventional monitor or the HDTV in your lounge, you just need to attach a bundled receiver to the back of your chosen screen. So they're not trying to use Wi-Fi or wireless HDMI or any of that. You just you have a transmitter on the back of your PC. Mm-hmm. You got a wireless receiver on your screen. And then that gaming machine that has the really loud fan can go sit over in a corner far away. Away from you, use a wireless keyboard and mouse. Done.
See? Put that big screen right up on the wall. Only the power cord. Love it.
Yep.
Samsung delivering on its promise to give all carriers 4G Samsung Galaxy phones. Billed as a T-Mobile exclusive, the vibrant 4G looks to be a gentle refresh of the current vibrant handset, with the notable upgrades being the inclusion of a 21 megabits capable HSPA connectivity. And this will speed your mobile broadband up into T-Mobile's definition of 4G speeds. It also has a front-facing camera paired to quick video chat software, or should we say Skype these days?
Yes. Skype, Skype, Squip,
Squick,
Squickype,
Squick.
T-Mobile UK, we skewered them a little yesterday, but they look slightly less evil today as they clarified their new 500 megabyte data cap will only apply to new customers.
That's great
slightly.
Marketing.
Should
Shucks.
They actually receive any after implementing this ridiculously restrictive policy. Meanwhile, Virgin Mobile is taking a more sensible but still restrictive policy. Starting February 15th, the carrier will throttle your bandwidth if you pass the somewhat more reasonable 5 gigabyte limit. But they still, they're avoiding charging you for overages. They're just going to throttle you down.
Looks like our speculation that AMD's CEO Dirk Meyer was fired for lack of interest in mobile may have actually been right. A Wall Street Journal report today said that AMD's board had been concerned for the past year over Meyer's seeming lack of interest in mobile. Following a meeting in November in the onslaught of mobile devices at CES, the board grew more impatient and eventually forced Meyer to resign on Monday.
Looks like Microsoft will block the Chevron WP7 unlock with their first Windows Phone 7 update. The software was pulled shortly after it was released back in November when Microsoft asked to work with the writers and to find ways to do legitimate homebrew apps. Those who were lucky enough to download it could still use it, but Microsoft says the error that allowed it to work has been fixed. So if you want to keep using it, don't update your Windows Phone 7.
The Amber Alert. The program credited with the safe recovery of 525 children across the country has a new ally today, Facebook. Facebook users are able to sign up to receive Amber Alert bulletins right into their news feed. Should be an interesting implementation of a very, amazing program in the first place, seeing the signs on the highway and now right into a social media tool.
Yeah, there was an Amber account on Twitter, but there was a lot of controversy over who actually owned it, who had the right to use it and distribute the names. But good to see that it's coming to Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. We have a pair of unreleased products that have been torn open for your amusement. First of all, it's the PlayStation phone, which is probably the worst protected secret of all of 2010 and 2011. And you know how I fix it normally? As soon as a product is released, they tear it open and they put it out. Well, looks like TG Bus beat them to the punch because they got to it before it's been put out, before it's actually been acknowledged or announced by Sony.
That is unbelievable that they would take this product, which you would think is like gold since it's pre-release, and just rip it apart. It must be available everywhere.
Yeah, actually ripped apart. Yeah. It looks even more like a PlayStation phone.
But the word that they're saying is they're isn't actually a PlayStation in there.
No, there's no PlayStation in there. That's true.
Just marketing.
Yeah.
That's all.
I looked
and
a looked.
Controller.
I could not find an entire PlayStation inside that phone. Nintendo 3DS also got thoroughly dismantled. This is coming from the Nintendo 3DS blog, and the source is TVG Zone. And they essentially took the same one that has been pictured before and snapped it open. There's not really a whole lot going in there. We knew there was a 1,300 milliamp hour battery. Now we can confirm it. But if you want to look closer, they've got the pictures at TVG Zone.
I got my hands on the 3DS at CES, and I thought the 3D was pretty darn good. I mean, it's definitely a singular viewing angle, but the depth that you got out of it was cool. It's a very unique subset that would want that, and it also plays into and what content. You know, if you have 3D games there, that's great, but they were showing a lot of trailers and what have you. I thought it was interesting to see it with, the no glasses straight on. Yeah, that works.
On to the calendar.
Happy birthday to Hal. Oh, yes.
I feel much better now. I really do.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal. It's your birthday.
Hal.
About time you left me back in.
Hal.
All right. Also, coming up January 8th, World IPv6 Day is scheduled. I'm very excited.
You're so excited.
I'm sorry, June 8th. Did I say January? June 8th.
June 8th.
June 8th.
Yes.
It's a day when big companies like Google and others will actually just use IPv6 for a day to give it a trial run, since we're going to run out of IPv4 addresses anytime here.
I suggest Tom as the mayor of this day.
Oh, gosh, no. There are plenty of people who are much more into IPv6
than I am. Or the mayor
of
IPv6.
Land.
Yeah.
I mean,
not even close to deserving that.
The Richard Branson iPad-only magazine project has the second issue out now, and Tom has got it here rolling on his iPad list.
Let's go to the store.
It's cool.
I haven't bought the issue yet because I'm too cheap to spend the $3.
It was delayed.
There it is.
There it is. It was delayed a few days on its release. They claimed pernicious gremlins were attacking them.
They did claim that.
It's a smaller file. The first one was massive. It was like a 20-minute download or 15-minute download. It was crazy. But they've gotten the size down a little bit, and it's pretty ambitious. I mean, they got the videos, they got the music samples. Interesting concept. And what do you think, Tom? You spent some time in the first one.
It's way too difficult to figure out how to get around it. Yeah, it takes you need a manual to tell you where all the controls are. When I opened it up for the first time since the first issue came out, I couldn't figure out how to get back to the home. It took a while, because but it's very sexy.
It's kind of like a game of chutes and ladders to me. Like, sometimes you go up and sometimes you go sideways.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sprint promising an industry-first announcement at an event they're holding February 7th. They sent out a very mysterious invite.
It's wireless control of David Blaine.
Yes, David Blaine is somehow involved, which makes it even more magical. And that sounds like
they're
going to
make
Jobs.
A phone disappear.
Now, you think there's no way that this is an iPhone on Sprint.
The only way this is an iPhone on Sprint is if it's a 4G iPhone, because an iPhone on Sprint's not an industry first. There's been Verizon now has a CDMA iPhone, so there would be no industry firstness about this.
The speculation is that it's a Froyo update for the Epic 4G, but really, they're going to go that big for that?
Well, they're going to make David Blaine turn it into something cool.
Whoa.
With magic.
I don't know.
And he'll be tied up in a shark tank.
I say just get Schwood and tell him to update.
Yeah, seriously.
Not that Schwood's anything other than David Blaine. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Don't get
me wrong.
Don't listen to her.
Mm-mm. Sprint dropping the price of the Galaxy Tab down to $300, undercutting everyone but U.S. Cellular. Now, we saw it right around Christmas priced at $349, but the $299 price, that definitely makes it more compelling. I'm sure I'd like to see the numbers on how this impacts sales, because I think it's all about price point with the tablet at this juncture. Samsung Mobile Boss confirming Galaxy S successor and the Galaxy Tab roadmap being announced next month. No, Tom?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. I just wondered if you had any following thoughts on all of this Galaxy Samsung.
Yeah, let's move it. We're running out of time.
All right. And Sony finally to announce the PSP2 at January 27th Tokyo meeting.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Believe it when you see
I'm more excited. I'm more anticipating we'll get a PSP phone.
Mm.
On to the email. TNT@twit.tv is our email address.
Hey, Tom and crew, I love listening to the show on my morning commute. My question about the Verizon iPhone is, if CDMA doesn't allow voice and data simultaneously, what happens if you're sharing a Wi-Fi connection, meaning you are the hotspot with your CDMA iPhone, and you answer a call coming in on the phone? Does it kill the data connections?
Oh,
I don't believe that it does. I feel like I've heard about this on another phone on Verizon.
How would it not?
If you're connected to data and getting data on Wi-Fi, you can still
No. This is the hotspot feature. The data is coming in over 3G, and it's going out over Wi-Fi to other phones.
Yeah, right.
But in the reverse, because I had the same reaction when Tom and I were talking about, if you're sucking in data via Wi-Fi.
Right,
like that's what I'm talking about.
That would not be a big problem.
Right, you've got two separate
pipes. I'm using the hots, he says. If you're sharing a Wi-Fi connection, in other words, you're using the hotspot, saying, hey, Jason, Becky, everybody, use my Wi-Fi off my iPhone, and then all of a sudden there's a call, it knocks all of you offline.
Sorry, guys, Granny called. You had to stop watching your whatever you were watching.
And James wrote in and said, I was thinking about reasons to have a Verizon iPhone now and then release a new one in June. They probably still carry iPhone 4, even if there still is an iPhone 5, just like you can still buy an iPhone 3GS. The 3GS will probably be phased out when the new one comes out. I think the marketing people like saying you can get an iPhone starting at $50 or $100, even if it isn't the latest version. Just my thoughts, no inside information. That makes total sense, James. They could totally do that and say, you know what? Yeah, we got the iPhone on Verizon, and now we're going to have the new one, and the old iPhone 4 goes down to $100.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I think there's some real risk in terms of going for the the non-LTE iPhone, the iPhone 4 now. I would wait. I mean, if I was re-upping, I would not buy this first phone on Verizon.
Yeah.
First iPhone on Verizon.
And if you do, and you're sharing a Wi-Fi connection with other people, don't answer the phone.
Don't take our calls.
Don't take the call. Just let it ring.
Speaking of phones in our limo, I would also just like to thank Michael Allen. When we were in Vegas, we had to kind of pull some moves to get from one place to the other, and we did manage to finagle some limo rides. You know, that's how we roll.
We were waiting in a cab line like chumps. me and Schwood and you walked up to you just walked away, talked to some guy, came back. We're like, what's that about? You're like, nothing. Suddenly a limo pulls up. You're like, there's our ride.
That's how I roll.
That was a big time move.
Yeah. So I would just like to thank Michael Allen, who, when we posted the photo of us in the limo, added in these fantastic Kanye glasses.
Oh. Those are the Polaroid GL20s.
Yeah, yeah, apparently, Gaga. for my homie Tom, you know, and I'm flashing the Twit gang sign, so I just want you all to know that's how my boy Tom rolls.
I agree with you, Becky. That was the most fun I've had at CES. Absolutely.
Best CES ever.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new Tech News Today. If you have thoughts on what we've talked about, email us TNT@twit.tv. Give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW, or visit our website, twit.tv/TNT, and download some other episodes, or leave a comment, or help edit the show notes in the wiki. Do all that stuff.
We'll love see you, man. Tomorrow.